Okay, you said you had some questions.
Thank you very much. I would like to represent some ideas I have come across and hear your perspective on them. The first one is that doesn't our fixation on Indian culture mean that we have become enamored with things unessential to Krishna consciousness? Doesn't it prevent us from reaching out to most Westerners who are not as receptive to Indian culture as we imagine? ISKCON will not become mainstream if people think that we are weird or alien.
I've been involved in Krishna consciousness for 45 years. I don't think I've ever come across anyone who said that Indian culture is weird. In fact, ever since the time of Middle Ages, everyone in Europe has been enamored with Indian culture and from all different aspects. But and although Srila Prabhupada even made statements like that, that we're going to conquer the world with Indian culture, but our culture is not Indian culture. Our culture is actually the origin of Vedic culture or spiritual culture, because we're meant to be a cultural revolution. We're not meant to be just a religion. We're not a faith that you can just pour into anything. But the cultural aspects of Krishna consciousness are integral to practicing Krishna consciousness, especially for neophytes and especially for beginners, because it helps them identify with the content, their dress, appearance, music, dance, architecture, other things help people identify with the content, and that's very important. It's called Bhav Sambandha, those things that are conducive to the actual Bhav. But once again, and Prabhupada uses that analogy, that India at present is like a dead elephant. So a dead elephant is still of use. The elephant is actually Vedic culture. And Vedic culture reflects spiritual culture, Goloka culture. So there are many things that are not quite right with India, and that's very obvious. But still, it's better than culture that you find elsewhere, and it's more reflective of what goes on in Goloka and Vaikuntha.
Guru, do our scriptures actually...
And we don't, and people don't become alien if people become attracted. Otherwise, what are we doing here, and what are people continuing to be attracted and being involved in Krishna consciousness? And people are more and more attracted to India. You don't have millions and millions of visitors going to India because they're put off by India. So, no, it's a fallacious argument, and that's what, unfortunately, some of these things are. They're fallacious arguments which drum up unnecessary anxiety in people.
Guru, do our scriptures actually recommend any details or style of dress? We clearly do not consider the Bhagavatam dress style injunctions applicable, like the brahmacharya should dress regularly with a belt of straw and deerskin, and the vanaprastha should wear matted locks of hair and garments colored like fire, and a sannyasi should only wear a kopin. These inapplicable verses seem to show that dress codes in Shastra are time-bound.
At least the essence should be taken out of there. So if you take the essence, which is austerity, simplicity, that really doesn't jive with modern way of dressing. So it's neither meant to be austere, neither meant to be renounced or simple, but it's meant to be productive, or it's meant to be sensual. It's meant to accentuate the body instead of actually de-accentuate the body, because the vanaprasthas were also not meant to bathe and so on. So, but that's a real practice which is recommended for those who are in Vedic culture, but we're followers of Vedic culture. So we're sadhakas, we're practitioners of devotional service, we're Vaishnavas. So how are we meant to dress? So Mahajana Yena Gatasapanta, how did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dress? How did the Goswamis dress? How did our Acharyas dress? How did Srila Prabhupada dress? And what did he tell us to dress like? And that's what, for us, is Vedic. So whatever Vedic changes, that's fine. We change it. We're not expecting everyone to wear deer skin. But we're saying that people should therefore dress in those clothes that are conducive to consciousness. And those clothes Srila Prabhupada gave us, which are abundantly available and very attractive. I've never heard any person go up to one of our ladies and tell them, your sari looks horrible.
Guruji, in a commentary, Prabhupada says that a preacher sannyasi is free to accept or reject the marks of sannyas. He said that sometimes the Krishna consciousness movement sends its representative sannyasis to foreign countries where the danda and kamandalu are not very much appreciated. We send our preachers in ordinary dress to introduce our books and philosophy. Our only concern is to attract people to Krishna consciousness. We may do this in the dress of a sannyasi or in the regular dress of gentlemen.
Yeah, so for introducing, you can do that. But after you've introduced them, and after they start practicing Krishna consciousness, then what do you do? So how does the sannyasi dress when he goes back to his apartment in the foreign country? Does he continue on with his Western clothes? No, he puts on his sannyasi clothes, because that's his natural attire. That's what's comfortable. The suit and the tie are not comfortable. They're very confining. And whatever you wear, at least as long as you're a conditioned soul, you don't identify with the clothes that you wear. So we'd rather identify with those clothes. So introduce Krishna consciousness. And once you've introduced Krishna consciousness and people become favorable, then is that it? Or do you take them further and you show them that actually the better type of clothing and the clothing that's more conducive for Krishna consciousness and more reflects the spiritual world, even if you don't believe that Krishna wears a dhoti, but I don't think anyone's making an argument that he wears jeans, or that he wears leather pants, or he wears a three-piece suit and a bowler hat. So at least it more represents that, and therefore it's conducive. For being Krishna conscious and thinking about Krishna. So introduce is one thing, and then where do you take them? And to take them there, you better be practicing it also, because the chances are that you're going to forget. You're going to become influenced by the clothes that you wear. And then it becomes your anartha. And if you want to make a religion out of your anartha, that's not very helpful for Krishna consciousness.
There's also a saying that Prabhupada liked dhoti and sari as a temporal strategy at a certain point in history to draw public attention. It worked in the 60s and 70s when Western youth liked things that were strange or exotic, but now the world is very different and this strategy no longer works to our advantage.
Not my experience. Once again, it's misleading information. I don't see that it isn't attractive to people. It is attractive to people. It continues to be attractive to people. That's one part. And the other is that Prabhupada never said, this is temporary clothes. All you're doing is digging up some very indirect references to the fact that Vaishnavas, for the sake of preaching, can wear clothes sometimes to introduce Krishna consciousness. But Prabhupada never told us that you should change your dress. In fact, he was very disturbed. In all the 12 years that he was with us, he was very disturbed when devotees tried to change the dress code or the hair code. And Prabhupada was going through difficult times. There were anti-cult people, there were people who were banning and shutting down Krishna consciousness in certain countries. Prabhupada didn't say, therefore, we should change our dress code. So that remains the same. So it's wrong information. That isn't what happens. We have devotees here in Hungary who are going out in devotee clothes to sell books. The result is, their result is not any less than devotees who go out in Western clothes. Some other devotees go to other countries, Norway, Denmark, distributing in devotees in kirtas where people hardly even know of Krishna consciousness. People cross the street because they're attracted just to ask them. So it's not some kind of anti-Indian atmosphere or the culture of the world hasn't become politicized against India, so that anything to do with India is going to set people off.
I have one last question, Guru Maharaj, that some say that the current ethnic customs in India are equated with Vedic culture, although many things we follow are Muslim, not Vedic norms, like the halwa standard deity offering comes from the Middle East, or kurta is a Persian word, it means that there's a long shirt, and we take it as devotional clothing, but it also comes from Muslim culture, or the choli came to North India from South India, Chola kingdom, and did not exist in North India during the time of Krishna.
What's the evidence? Where did it get this evidence? Is this just another speculation or another statement? Muslim culture is 1400 years old. Where did they get the kurta from? If you think that it didn't exist in India, Bhagavatam says that ultimately all knowledge originally came from India, from the Vedas, and then spread all over the world. So just like if you take the example of Choli, so where does this come from? Raghunath Das Goswami says in his writings, he uses the word Choli, that Srimati Radharani is dressed in a Choli. So who am I going to believe? Someone who dreams up arguments to support his premise, his thesis, or Raghunath Das Goswami who says that Srimati Radharani wears a Choli, and her upper body is covered by her Choli, so it's there in Sanskrit. So it's wrong. It's wrong information, and just as that one I have personal experience with, having written a book on those verses. So therefore, why should I even think that the other so-called accusations about halwa and so on are not? But even if they're not, so what? That doesn't mean that everything, that's only three things. What about the other 10,000 things that we also practice in Krishna consciousness? Just because three things may be coming from somewhere else, or in this case only two, that doesn't mean that the others aren't. In any case, I'd still rather wear a kurta than a tie and a shirt. It's much more attractive, it's much more comfortable, and it's much more sattvic. Because like with everything else, everything is infused and gives an influence of the modes of nature. So the type of clothes that you're talking about, Western clothes, are a product of the mode of ignorance and at the best of the mode of passion. Generally speaking, they're all about sex. So why would you feel comfortable in those type of clothes unless you're very much inclined to that same type of thing or you're contaminated by it? Now, Vaishnavas look for those things that are in the mode of goodness. For preaching, we do so many things, and that we can also do. But ultimately, what is our real tradition? What is our culture? And where are we bringing people to? Now, there's no argument I dressed in Western clothes. I wore wig. But as soon as that service was over, I took them off, and I put on my regular clothes, and I never considered that now I should be permanently walking around in a wig.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Guru.